An awesome God. What an exclamation point. I love that song. It's true, it's beautiful, and it's easy to remember the word. It's always a blessing to speak and be amongst other members of the body of Christ. Thanks for having us today. Grateful to be here. The word tells us that we are in this world, but we're no longer of this world. However, in the meantime, we live in these carnal bodies and in a fallen world, attempting to work out our salvation while trying to seek, honor, and serve God presents some very real challenges. The current state of affairs in this world is troubling, and although it's not new, it is real and deeply disturbing. Our goal as believers is to navigate through it while seeking God and attempting to serve others. It's hard not to notice the rate of inflation that we're experiencing right now. The numbers are real, and for many it's burdensome. The price of everything has gone up, up, and up. With one notable exception, the price of salvation has remained the same. Jesus already paid the price for our salvation. I was not saved through an act of my own will or through some particular religious ceremony. I was saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Karen and I spent our evenings during this past week speaking about today and what we'd like to share with the fellowship while reflecting on our journey of being in Christ and Christ growing in us. The process of reflection and rejoicing in our faith was a blessing in itself. Looking back, we've decided that it's been quite a ride. And praise God, we're here today proclaiming victory in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Tomorrow, in addition to being Bev's birthday, is the point in time where our country declared its independence from what was considered at the time to be an unfair, unreasonable, and oppressive connection with England. While the nation celebrates its independence, I thought it was appropriate to spend some time today and celebrate our dependence on Jesus Christ. Karen and I are getting ready to celebrate our 27th wedding anniversary. I was thinking about the commitment that she had made to marry a man with my history and in my position, a man who at one time had no value for life, his own or others, and who was rightfully removed from society. Who does that? Who makes a commitment like that? It's mind-boggling. Most people thought that Karen had gone off the rails on the crazy train. And I thought to myself, God bless the broken road that led you straight to me, or led me straight to you. Wrap your mind around that type of decision. What on earth were we thinking? Karen has shared with me many times over the years that when she got into the car on the way to get married, she prayed one more time, God, if this is not your will, don't let it happen. She was driving a beat-up old car with a bad battery. She turned over the key and it started and off she went. Toward an uncertain and certainly unconventional future. You're a brave girl. So I got technical difficulties today. This last year has had its own special challenges and unique blessings for us. We found out at the end of last year that Karen had cancer. As the path forward began to reveal itself, it was clear that we were in a very new and scary place. Karen told me early on that no matter how this thing unfolds, no matter how it plays out, her goal was to honor God and demonstrate His grace in her life. I was so moved by those words. In a time of crisis and uncertainty, her focus was on her dependence on God. This was a very intense and burdensome experience. Throughout it all, two operations, countless procedures, some major complications, Karen moved through it with grace and dignity, and I got to witness it all. Once again, God had equipped us for the task at hand and supported us every step of the way. Amen. He revealed himself to me in some new and very personal, intimate ways. My appreciation and respect for my wife has become even more. His hand in our life, unbelievable. 31 years ago, Karen and I lived together in a very self-serving and sinful world. We had taken up residence and lived in a very dark and miserable place. God placed some people in our path to share the good news, God's plan of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We found that this was not just a one-time event that washed over us, and then all we had to do was focus on some set of rules so that we could earn our way to heaven. We became new creatures in Christ. We were babies that needed to be cared for, nurtured, and supported by the body of Christ. This fellowship has had a significant impact on our process of growing in Christ and Christ growing in us. We're here to say thank you for that, daily. Part of our time in reflection during the past week has been about how we've been mentored, who mentored us, and how we were prepared to now mentor and support others. That's how it works. For those among us today that are burdened, feeling ill-equipped, overwhelmed by the uncertainties and changes in health, relationships, geographic location, we get to do it together. We bear one another's burdens. We edify one another and we honor God. It's all quite amazing from our perspective. God gave me a heart, God gave me the heart of a servant. And I was given an opportunity to experience the reality that giving is so much more rewarding than taking, which was an absolute foreign concept from the world I grew up in. I didn't create the heart of a servant within myself. I didn't conjure up a new rewarding perspective on life. His spirit quietly pressed upon my heart that I would be trained up to serve others in counseling, which was exciting but seemingly impossible. Part of the Bible study that Karen is currently in is dealing with the 15th chapter of John, the vine and the branches. Jesus uses a word picture related to agriculture, pruning away that which does not support growth of fruit. Needless to say, God had plenty of pruning to do in order to get me on track and begin producing fruit. It dawned on me several years ago that no fruit tree produces fruit for its own consumption. The tree produces fruit for the benefit of others. Many faithful members of the body of Christ have mentored us by allowing us to benefit from the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. God produced many opportunities for training for Karen and I. Karen's been deeply involved within the body of Christ for years. Mission trips all over the world, supporting others, being supported. What a ride. I worked toward and through some educational endeavors, picked up an Associate of Religious Education, Bachelor of Ministry, Master in Christian Counseling, and eventually a credential in addictions treatment as an addictions treatment counselor. As I struggled with and fretted over my education that I had committed to, constantly reminded me that although the degrees and credentials are part of the deal, you have to have the paperwork to navigate through on the planet that we're living on. He had already given me that which was really important, a new heart and new eyes to see the world through. And all the while, the fruits of the Spirit began to develop in my life and eventually be made available to others. That's our hope, isn't it? At one point, I found favor with an administrator, an associate warden named George Freitas, who was planning to do something quite different in the prison system. He wanted to start a program that addressed the needs of men using inmates to provide the services rather than the traditional outside contractors. His idea was not very popular with his own peers, and it certainly shook things up further up the food chain. They thought that he had gone rogue and was headed straight toward a forced early retirement. Within a year, all the people who were threatening to fight were now singing his praise because of the results of his program. He went from being a troublemaker to a genius. The governor's office sent down a film crew to make a documentary about the program. All the important people flocked around to examine what he had created and find out how to replicate it. I remember teaching in classes, and the way it was set up, there were some hallways that walked by the classes that had windows, and the official people would come and peer in the window, and I felt like a fish in a fishbowl. What an experience. This wasn't a particularly happy or joyous time for me. It was a major struggle. I remember sitting in my bunk after having been rehoused in a different place in order to participate in this new program, and there were people everywhere in a dorm setting. And I was sitting on my bunk with my head down trying to create and prepare to present some curriculum regarding life skills the following day. And tears were just dropping out of my eyes onto the page. I felt lost and scared. Under all that, I knew where I was supposed to be. That's where I was. But it was still tough. At one point in this part of my journey, Greg and Nanette stopped to see me. They always brought a word of encouragement. And I was able to go from that visit back into my battlefield with my battery charged, because that's what we do for one another. That's what this fellowship has done for me year after year. I had no idea at the time, but the blessing and considerable burden of this endeavor trained me for the ministry, which eventually became New Hope. Karen and I are going to go to Morro Bay in a couple weeks to celebrate our 27th wedding anniversary. I reached out to Mr. Freitas last week, and I told him that we would like to spend some time with him, and he and his wife are going to join us for lunch in a couple weeks. I'm going to have an opportunity to share with that man how he impacted my life. Karen and I also celebrated our 11th year of living together. We get to we celebrate a lot.
That's good.
Daily, right? We didn't start out on this part of our journey. 11 years ago, I was released from incarceration. And we didn't start out with any personal ambitions. There was no grand plan. We just wanted to be able to pay rent in our little apartment and honor God. A couple of years into our stay in Ventura, we saved up some money and some opportunities came our way. We rented a home and opened up a community-based self-paced sober living to support men struggling with addiction. Called it New Hope. We have a new hope in Jesus Christ. That was about 9 years ago. I've been reminded again and again how God had planned and equipped us just for that moment. I had no idea when we were going through the struggles and the burden, the changes of geographical locations, the struggles with health and relationships and people and the noise in my own head. I had no idea. I was just trying to be faithful and keep moving forward, accepting the support that was given me. Today, 9 years later, New Hope has continued to be a part of our life. I have moved out of construction, at least working in construction. And I work there part-time as a counselor and a teacher, and I take care of the majority of the administrative work. We receive men who parole from prison. And we have about 6 months to 9 months, if necessary, to work with these men in getting on. I've seen over the years that many people fail because they don't have support. They get overwhelmed by the simple task of going to get a driving license, a social security card, trying to find employment, housing, food. We get to help people do all of that. We have life skills classes and counselors and teachers and awesome people. We work for a secular organization, but our community is made up of faithful people. It could be a burden to try and navigate through the world that we live in with the beliefs that we have. This week, Friday, I met a man named Raymond. I'd been in correspondence with him for a number of years. He had been writing us and asking us if we would support him when he paroled. I've been in contact with his wife, Teresa. He's a decorated war veteran from the Iraqi war. Came back, had some struggles. Eventually, an aide to Congresswoman Lois Capps. Left a social gathering after having a couple drinks one night, got in an accident, and everything changed for a lot of people. He's a faithful man, has walked with God during his time of incarceration, and on Friday he paroled. Raymond and his wife Teresa came to New Hope, and I met them there, and I just thought to myself, I saw Karen and I in this couple 11 years ago, and what an honor to know that they're okay. They don't know that right now. They're scared. What an honor to be able to share with them what has been shared with me. Unbelievable. A couple Mondays ago, I had taught a class it was on forgiveness that night. We hold life skills classes 3 nights a week. And on this particular Monday, class is over at 8 o'clock, been a long day. And I'm driving home, and don't you just love those moments when the Lord just moves through your heart and shows you the reality of what He's doing in your life? I was driving home, and it just dawned on me that the opportunity that I have, these are real men with real problems that really are engaged in moving in a new direction, and we get to be, and it was just one of those moments that rolls through you, but charges your whole battery. And as soon as I got home, I told Karen, "You're not going to believe it. We're helping people." I was a part of a Christ-centered peer counseling group for a number of years called Yoke Fellows. We met on this particular group of men met on Saturday nights, and there was always a free staff volunteer, a man that had gone through and jump through the hoop, so to speak, to be able to come and volunteer time within the institution. And he would come open up the room, and then we would have a group, and we would talk about life in Christ, and how do we do this. And any given night was any number of different subjects. On this night it was about mentorship, and each person was asked to share about someone that had an impact on their life. And the guy that Barks, the man who opened up the group and gave his Saturday night away for 10 years. I was there for 10 years. He gave away every one of his Saturday nights so that we could have a place to meet. And he shared about a counselor he had at a Christian youth camp and how he was on a threshold, and his interaction with that man on that summer changed his life. And it was a wonderful meeting, like most of them were. Clay came back the following day, or the following Saturday, and he said, "I felt compelled to find this man. He hadn't spoken to him in decades." And so he did some research and reached out to the man. And he found him in Oregon, and he called him on the phone. And he introduced himself, and he said, "I just want to tell you that," he told him about, you know, that we'd had a group and we discussed, and he said, I was just moved to reflect on how you had impacted my life." And the man was quiet, and he said, "I'm really grateful you called, because I'm sitting here alone dying from cancer, and I was wondering if I ever made a difference in anybody's life." And Clay said, "You did." And now some years have gone by and Clay is struggling with his health. And I reached out to him this week to remind him of our relationship in Jesus Christ and how he impacted my life. And how the things that we do affect other people. We teach a class about the ripple effect. How the energy of one rock dropped in the pond can affect so much. What this fellowship has done for me and what it continues to do for countless other people that are seemingly unconnected is hard to wrap your mind around. I have a brother who's taught youth athletics for over 40 years. And at this point, some of the young men that he mentored have had and brought their children to his wrestling mat. And now, believe it or not, their children, this is bad, their children have had children, and he's teaching them. And every time I think about the impact that he has had, a faithful man, an honorable man, giving, giving, giving to others, what we do matters. It matters long term. Supporting one another is important. I'd like to encourage all of us in closing this morning to think about and have a conversation with others this week about who impacted our lives. Karen and I did it this past week, and it was a joyous experience. Who impacted our lives? Who do I need to reach out and talk to and say, "You know what, you made a difference in my life, and I love you." And Karen and I love all of you. Thanks for having us today.